Super Baby! Are going back to Miami, where they have won two Super Bowls, and they're looking for number six.
Let's start filling up that other half.
The Niners and Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, and both arrived in dominating fashion. Today, how San Francisco's offense overpowered Green Bay, despite barely passing the ball. Why the plucky Titans couldn't stop Patrick Mahomes, and an early look at the matchup in Miami. I'm Ina Kimes. It's Monday, January 20th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by Dell Small Business. We did it, Bill. We made it to the Super Bowl. You, me, and Jimmy Garoppolo.
I feel like I may have sweat more watching the NFC Championship game than Jimmy Garoppolo actually sweat playing in the NFC Championship game.
Bill Barnwell is a senior football writer at ESPN and the host of The Bill Barnwell Show. So after 2 weeks of extremely exciting football, Championship Weekend did not disappoint Niners and Chiefs fans. It disappointed pretty much everyone else, or at least anyone who wanted close games. Both favorites dominated. So let's start with the most dominant team, the San Francisco 49ers. Bill, when the Niners and Packers met earlier this season, Aaron Rodgers had one of the worst games of his career. He threw for 104 yards. Tonight, he threw for 326 yards, but the result wasn't much better. Why is that?
Okay, so the first time, you know, these two teams played, the Niners won with an absolutely dominant pass rush. Nick Bosa and his teammates knocked down Aaron Rodgers 10 times. On Sunday, they only knocked down Aaron Rodgers twice. And while they did hold them without a first down conversion in the first half in both of those games, the Packers moved the ball pretty consistently, I should say, after halftime. Instead, the 49ers were otherworldly in a different way on Sunday. They ran the ball 42 times, for 285 yards and four touchdowns, averaging nearly 7 yards per carry. And to put that in context, ESPN has a stat called expected points added, which measures how each play impacts a team's chances of scoring on a given drive. The 49ers racked up the second most rushing EPA for any team in a game this season, and the most for any single team in a playoff game over the last decade, just narrowly beating out the prior record holder, which just happened to be the 49ers' 2012 playoff win over the Green Bay Packers, when Colin Kaepernick ran for 181 rushing yards and two touchdowns.
So their leading rusher tonight was not Colin Kaepernick. It was Raheem Mostert, who ran for 220 yards by himself.
San Francisco Raheem Mostert has the hat trick in the first half of the NFC Championship game.
So it deserves a hat trick. It feels great, baby.
Bill, I am guessing a decent amount of football fans hadn't heard of Raheem Mostert before tonight.
Okay, so Raheem Mostert is basically an accident in football terms, but it's such a cool story. So the Shanahan offense has a history of unearthing obscure running backs and turning them into stars, going back to Mike Shanahan's days in Denver. But even among those backs, Mostert is a particularly remarkable case. The Niners did everything they could to find a different running back over the past couple of years. They handpicked a runner who they traded up to nab in the 2017 draft. He never played a game for the team. They signed Jerick McKinnon, who tore his ACL. He's collected more than $21 million for the Niners without ever playing a single game for the team. This offseason, they added Tevin Coleman from the Falcons, who suffered an injury in the first half, and that opened up the door for Mostert. And Mostert's story is easy to root for. You heard him talk about it after the biggest game of his life on Sunday.
It's crazy that I've been on 7 different teams. I actually still have the cut dates. Before every game, I look at the cut dates, when I got cut. Not everybody can deal with that type of stress and pain and agony that I went through. I kept the faith in not only myself, but whoever gave me the opportunity. And this organization has done a great job.
Mostert made the Niners roster as a special teamer at first, but after he looked good in limited time last season, they gave him a 3-year extension. After playing well this season, Mostert just became the first running back in NFL history to top 200 rushing yards and score 4 rushing touchdowns in a single game. That's never happened in the playoffs before. Pretty good for a guy who was really an afterthought until the 2018 season.
What's just as remarkable, Bill, is those 220 rushing yards were nearly 3 times as many yards as Jimmy Garoppolo, the Niners quarterback, passed for, which made for a remarkable stat sheet. There was a point in this football game where, according to ESPN Stats and Info, Jimmy went 94 minutes in real time without attempting a pass. So I have to ask, going into the Super Bowl, is that a sustainable offensive approach?
I mean, Mina, we all had that friend in our 20s who got by and succeeded solely because they were good looking. Right now, that friend is Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, in the divisional round, he barely threw the football. In the conference championship game, he barely threw the football. We saw a similar situation with Ryan Tannehill, right, over the first 2 weeks of his postseason. And when Tennessee ran into an offensive juggernaut with the Chiefs, their offense with Tannehill was not able to accelerate into a higher gear. Now, of course, Garoppolo is the one who has to face the Chiefs. Unless the 49ers can shut down the Kansas City passing game with their pass rush, which isn't out of the question, they're going to need to throw the football more, quite a bit more. We've seen the Niners succeed in games where Garoppolo has needed to throw the ball a ton, with the Saints win, maybe as a notable example. But since Garoppolo threw that interception against the Vikings in the divisional round, Kyle Shanahan has called 71 runs against just 12 passes. Even if the Niners do end up throwing the ball effectively against the Chiefs, it's clear that Shanahan doesn't want to put the game on Garoppolo's shoulders unless absolutely necessary. And that in itself is telling.
Throughout the game, Bill, Packers fans were frustrated, understandably so. And they seemed to be taking out some of their wrath on the coaches, arguing they should have devised better game plans to both run the ball more and stop the run. Do you think there's anything that Matt LaFleur or the Packers defensive coordinator Mike Pettine could have done differently in this game?
Yeah, I think so. I think, to be fair, Shanahan might just have Mike Pettine's number. It just felt like he was several steps ahead of the Packers defensive coordinator. And when Pettine tried to adjust, it just never seemed to catch up and work. There was one play, I think in the second quarter, that was a microcosm of everything that went wrong for the Packers in this game. They came out in their nickel package with 5 defensive backs against the 49ers' base 2-back offense, which created a size mismatch. The Niners pitched the ball to Mostert, and not only did he have a huge hole, but he made both safeties whiff on their tackle attempts downfield and went for about 30 yards. Pettine struggled to put his players in positions where they could succeed. And meanwhile, LaFleur didn't coach like a guy who was a 7-point underdog. The Packers punted, I believe, on their first drive on 4th-and-1 from the 50-yard line. We know the Packers are an enormously more effective offense with Aaron Jones in the field, but LaFleur still had Jamal Williams, their backup running back, play over 30% of the offensive snaps. And he didn't really take advantage of a move the Niners made with Richard Sherman that was really fascinating. During the regular season for the Niners and during the vast majority of his time in Seattle, Sherman has lined up for almost every snap as the left cornerback on defense, playing against the right side of the offense. The Niners started the game on Sunday with Sherman on the opposite side of the field, on the right side of the defense and on the left side of the offense against Devontae Adams. And while Sherman didn't travel to the left side very frequently, he did do it a few times during the first half. And in the second half, Adams was able to beat an isolated Sherman over the top for a huge play downfield. I think, given that Adams played about half of his snaps on either side of the field, I would have liked to have seen LaFleur try to isolate him against Sherman a little more often and take his chances with his top wideout.
All right, after the break, we're going to talk about the AFC Championship and how the Chiefs ended the Titans' Cinderella story. The best teams start with great talent, but finding the right people can be a challenge. I mean, just ask the New York Knicks. When it comes to hiring for your business, ZipRecruiter can help you find the right candidates for your team fast, from healthcare to manufacturing to business services and more. And now, You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 top job sites, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. You can even add screening questions to your job listing so you can filter candidates and focus on the best ones. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter.com/ESPNDaily. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. So, Bill, what I found most interesting about the Titans' approach in this game against Kansas City, they were also big underdogs, is that they really stuck to their identity. Nothing they did struck me as extremely different from how they approached the previous 2 weeks, except that it didn't work this time. Why was that?
I don't think this was really about the offense at all, Mina. I think, to be honest, the Titans' offense played pretty well. They scored 14 points in the wildcard win over the Patriots. And as we talked about last week, they scored 28 points against the Ravens. That was really driven by 3 short fields on possessions which started in Baltimore territory. In this game, Tennessee started with 3 long drives for 17 points. They had an 80-yard touchdown drive later in the game.
Working from the gun, sets up Tannehill, firing toward the end zone for Ferkser. Touchdown, Titans!
There was never that long Derrick Henry run, but this was honestly the best offensive performance of the playoffs for Tennessee. The problem is that you have to do so much around that offensive philosophy we saw over the last 2 weeks to succeed in the way the Titans have. And those things didn't happen. The Titans had been one of the worst red zone defenses in football during the regular season. But over the first 2 playoff games, they were fantastic. They were the best red zone defense in the postseason. On Sunday, though, the Chiefs were 2 for 3 in the red zone. You need to be perfect with that sort of formula that Tennessee ran to win in the playoffs. You need to dominate both red zones. You need to shut the other team down on 3rd and short and 4th and short. You need to force takeaways. The Titans weren't able to do much of that at all on Sunday. And for all the talk about their offensive brilliance, they weren't able to do the other things they had done to win earlier in the playoffs.
So before the score got out of control, the Titans didn't abandon the run. They just weren't very successful for it. Bill, on the drives that ended the first half before they kneeled down and the drive that began the second half, Derrick Henry ran the ball 6 times for 8 yards. He ran it for just 26 yards after contact on Sunday, which was the lowest rate of the season. Going into this game, there was some concern amongst Chiefs fans that Derrick Henry would run amok because the Kansas City run defense was one of the worst in the NFL this year. What did you make of their performance against him?
They were good. I thought they were really impressive. On Sunday, the Chiefs won on both sides of the football. You mentioned the defense. I thought the offensive line did an incredible job of creating time for Patrick Mahomes to improvise and make plays. He was sacked just 2 times on 37 dropbacks for a total of 2 yards, and he had 91 yards passing after holding onto the ball for at least 5 seconds, which was the 2nd most for any quarterback in a single game this season. The Chiefs converted 7 short yardage runs for first downs. And I think, you know, we always talk about the Chiefs offense and it's Patrick Mahomes and it's Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and all those weapons, but there's a really talented offensive line here, and they dominated what had been a very effective Titans defense in short yardage on Sunday.
Well, now I feel guilty because we've been talking about this game for a few minutes and we have not gotten into the incredible, dare I say, majestic performance we saw from Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes moving to his left, laterally chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet of Patrick Mahomes' incredible young career.
He does so many incredible things, Bill, that I feel like we sometimes take him for granted. For example, before his first touchdown, which was a little touch pass to Tyreek Hill, he threw one of the craziest balls to Travis Kelce I've ever seen. And it ended up not counting, but it was still remarkable. And we're probably going to forget about it. Is it even possible to describe what Patrick Mahomes is doing with words? I feel like it should be depicted in stained glass.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to try and depict it in words for this audio form. I mean, I wrote about Mahomes for ESPN the magazine last season, and I said the most magical moment in football in 2018 were those few seconds when Mahomes threw a deep pass and the camera was panning to whatever was going to happen downfield. Every time, I assumed it was going to be a touchdown. There are guys who I see that happen with, and I assume they're about to throw an interception. With Mahomes, it's exactly the opposite. Anything seems possible in those few seconds. And honestly, that might have been selling Mahomes short, because he's also been incredible as a rusher over the past couple of weeks. Tennessee repeatedly tried to rush three and spy Mahomes with a linebacker, usually with Rashawn Evans, in the first half, and that game plan went about as poorly as any game plan has gone this year. Mahomes had as many rushing first downs during the AFC Championship game as Derrick Henry did. And, of course, Mahomes is pretty good as a passer as well.
So Super Bowl 54 is set. It's San Francisco and Kansas City, which, from a football perspective, is an incredible matchup, Bill. We get the Niners' defense and the Chiefs' offense, which is the definition of strength on strength. We get the two best tight ends in football. We get two of the best coaches in football. Is there any area in which one of these teams has a clear edge?
You know, Mina, I just said the Chiefs did a good job against the run on Sunday, but according to the Football Outsiders efficiency stats, the Chiefs were 29th in DVOA against the run during the regular season. That's a much larger sample. That turns out to be more meaningful, I think, than one game. The Niners, they've just been so impressive running the ball this postseason. And while the Chiefs were able to control the line of scrimmage against the Tennessee offense that was physically impressive, running people over, running a few core rush concepts over and over again, the Niners just have so much window dressing and so many ways to get into their rush concepts that I think it's difficult for a defense to keep up. And the Packers couldn't on Sunday. And while it's way too early for me to make a pick, I wonder if the Chiefs will be able to slow down that running game, regardless of who has the ball in their hands for the 49ers. But then again, I wonder whether the Niners have the speed at cornerback to hold up downfield against those Mahomes throws. And hey, Jimmy Garoppolo's arm might not be used to throwing more than 10 passes in a game anymore. I've got a lot of research to do.
Well, Bill, you've got a couple of weeks, but I'll see you in Miami.
Thanks, Mina.
Coming up, a baseball coach breaks barriers. Now you can win a $250,000 home renovation designed by the Scott Brothers in an ADT smart home security system. To enter, just head to ADT.com/passtheprotection and tell us what you want to protect. A beautiful home is great, but a safer home is even better. Now's your opportunity to get both. The winner and the winner's home will be featured in an ADT video with the Scott Brothers. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Ends March 16th. Must be 18 or over and a homeowner as of February 1st, 2020. To learn more about the contest and read the official rules, go to ADT.com/passtheprotection. Here's another story I want you to know. It's been a rough week for baseball, as we've discussed at length here on ESPN Daily, but amidst all the controversy about stolen signs and fired coaches and tweets from nieces who may not actually be nieces, there was one very cool piece of news that you might have missed. Late last week, the San Francisco Giants' new manager, Gabe Kapler, announced that he was adding a pair of assistant coaches to his staff, one of whom, a Giants employee named Alyssa Nacken, is the first woman to ever get a coaching job with the big league team. Nacken, like the other assistant hired this week, Mark Halberg, is a former athlete. She was a star softball player at Sacramento State, where she was a three-time all-conference first baseman. And after getting a master's in sports management, she joined the Giants as an intern in their baseball operations department, then worked on the amateur draft and player development, and most recently, she oversaw the team's health and wellness initiatives. When Kapler was asked about the hire by the Sacramento Bee, He told the paper that Natkin's going to work with his players on base running and batting practice and will assist coaches on the technical aspects of the game. He also said she was the best choice for the job, period, adding, viewed from any angle, she was a candidate who would not be denied. So here's to the Giants and Alyssa for breaking new ground and for giving us a reason to talk about something other than breaking the rules. I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.